Pray together. Lord, already in the scriptures that have been read and these songs that have been sung is so clear, Lord, who you are and how much we depend wholly upon you. We thank you now as we turn our attention to your word that we would hear you, that these words that I share, that you would help us only hear that which you want us to hear. We thank you for this ever-present love. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So patience is a virtue unlike any other. Its challenge demands that I accept that there is something outside of my own will that is in control of life. Let me say that again. Its challenge demands that I accept that there is something outside my own will that is in control of life. What is common within the community of Christ from the first century to the present century is that we're all looking for the second coming of Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's usually our appeal. Come quickly. But apprentices to Jesus have always been required more of them than simply those who don't follow him. Think about it. I experience that all the time when I pick up people and I hear their world, their perspective. For me, as an apprentice of Jesus, always more is required. We're part of a larger story that has a history. It's a deep history. It has a present reality, and it has an emphatic future. So James today can't explain everything, but trust him on this. The way the journey with Christ proceeds, one cannot hurry life in the Spirit. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7 through verse 12. By the way, this is totally off the subject, but the passage out of Psalm 103 included the sense of God's concern for oppression. The first slaves that came to America was in 1619, 400 years ago. Some 20 of them came through Virginia. And Kisti sent me this conversation, I think, from her bishop in Atlanta. So I might be sending it to some of you to read and consider. Anyway. James 5, 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Well, it's interesting with James. There's very little commentary that he gives. So maybe we can explain some things. The second coming of Christ was expected in their lifetime, including James, thinking that it would come. But it hadn't happened yet. And we're still waiting. James' primary call is to patience. And I'm sure that he was, if you will, waiting on the edge of his seat as well, hoping for Jesus to return. And by the way, this James is the brother of Jesus, okay? This isn't like James and John, sons of Zebedee. Peter Marshall, the great 20th century pastor, is quoted as praying, "Teach us, O Lord, the disciplines of patience, for to wait is often harder than to work." In regard to the second coming of Jesus, there was no work that they could do to speed up the hand of God. So James begins to create a visual for his audience, a word picture, if you will, that they could understand. The farmer. In an agrarian society, the requirements of the farmer were well known to everyone. The early rains, usually in late October and early November, were for the germination of the seed that had been planted. And the late rains were for the maturing of the plant, usually in late April or early May. The farmer knew that the actual growth of the seed was completely out of his control and fully in God's control. So is the second coming. The point is, the farmer knew how to wait. How are we with that? I found that waiting can be the most fruitful time in almost anything that we face. I remember from the time when we were in New York, and I had turned in my resignation of March 1st, effective for the 15th of July, I think it was. But even before that, I knew that God was calling me away. And working with students, mostly college and some high school students, in reflection, it was the most fruitful time of all of those 3 years I was there. From the time I resigned until I actually left. The waiting period of time. The time when I didn't know exactly what the next step was. Okay. So, James's audience was exhorted to wait patiently. Being anxious or demanding isn't going to change a thing. There'll be plenty of suffering to go around. And in the following of the community of faith, suffering will not disappear. Waiting itself can be a source of suffering if we do not know and trust the one who has his own plans in his own hands. Waiting has a purpose, and according to James, it's to establish one's heart. Did you ever think of that in terms of waiting in your life? The establishment of the heart has many dimensions. And it includes learning that life is lived through our hearts. We don't live through our heads, we live through our hearts. Faith is a matter of the heart and is formed through patient endurance. If there's no waiting required, faith will frankly remain thin or weak. We want to embrace the idea of deep faith, but deep faith doesn't take place without waiting. Weak patience leads to the blame game, which leads to judging, which leads to a precarious cliff that anyone in their right mind would want to stay away from. So when his concern is for the brothers that you not begin to rip and tear at each other, it's because people are anxious waiting. So the antidote to suffering and patience that he gives us is steadfastness. Steadfastness is necessary to discover the compassion and mercy of God. You think about that, for instance, that Israel had been crying out to God for 400 years in their bondage in Egypt. 400 years. And then they discovered the compassion and mercy of God. And it's absolutely amazing, if not appalling, how quickly they forgot once they were out of Egypt. But what about us? James's example of the experience of the prophets and Job tells the story of what's required. In the words of British Professor Barclay, he says, "The very greatness of Job lies in the fact that in spite of everything that tore at Job's heart, he never lost his grip on faith and his grip on God." We sang that in that first song, didn't we? Even if I am not delivered, I will trust in you. You have to hang in there when everything is going against you. In the God with a story, the fruit of steadfastness is almost always blessing. How important is God's blessing? How important is God's blessing to any of us? Do you pray for God's blessing? Do you want God to bless? There's so many different ways He blesses us. Therefore, the purposes of God can only be known over time. It's taken me more than a year to understand the importance of the assignment that God has given me in terms of Lyft driving. But I understand now. I understand what it's about. Jamie ends this section with a statement that seems to come out of nowhere to our 21st century minds, but maybe it's not from nowhere. The instruction regarding oaths sets followers of Jesus apart from their surrounding culture. The nature of the times was characterized by lying and cheating and false testimony and swindling. Since then, maybe things have not changed all that much. We need the same exhortation. In an honest society, no oath is needed. Philo, the philosopher, said in this regard, he says, "Frequent swearing is bound to beget perjury and impiety." If we have to swear all the time, eventually we're going to be lying. How often do we hear someone say, "I swear"? For the Greeks, the best guarantee of any statement was not an oath, but it is the character of the person who made it. Jesus' way is always a higher standard, and it's usually counter to the culture in which we live. You know, those of us who have been witnesses in a court situation, you know, you put your hand on the Bible. I don't know if you still do that or not, but put your hand up and I swear to tell the truth. Why do you have to swear that if you're honest? But it is our culture. So let me come back to the beginning. Patience is a virtue unlike any other. The way the journey proceeds, one cannot hurry life in the Spirit. We can't hurry the hand of God. So hope in the second coming of the Lord is what we can grasp hold of. I have that hope. We sing about that hope all the time, that the Lord will return. We believe that. It hasn't happened yet, but we believe it. So we hold on to it. Hope in the second coming of the Lord is what we grasp hold of. The farmer understands this process, so why don't we learn from him? The way of Christ is organic. We cannot skip any step. We have to go through waiting. It's part of God's way. I mean, you think about that. How many prayers have you prayed in your life that didn't involve waiting? You had to wait. You had to wait because of the change that was necessary in you or in others that you were praying about. So what can we do in response to this is to establish our hearts. It is in our hearts that we are rooted and grounded. That is our preparation for all that's coming in life. I hope that Jesus will come and rescue the church before the tribulation, but I'm planning on him not doing that. Because what if he doesn't? I had seminary professors who had great arguments from opposite viewpoints of that. So I said, you know, I like to think this, but I want to get ready for this over here. So we establish our hearts. That is our preparation for all that is coming. And it always is, no matter whether we're talking about an overarching thing like the second coming of Christ or the issues that spring up in life. It's the preparation of our hearts. If everything was exactly like we desire, then we would have no need for patience. But it isn't the way we exactly desire. To try to hurry things along only results with frustration and disappointment. If you take your frustrations out on one another, according to James, then you set yourself up for God's judgment. Why is it that people would take out their frustrations on one another? Why is it, for instance, do with our children or others, they people can express their greatest amount of anger towards the one whom they love the most because that one is safe for them. And so the toxicity comes out at those whom they love the most. So we need to learn from those who have gone before us. Their stories of steadfastness ought to instruct us. They are not just to be admired, but to be learned from. Where would I be without the mentors who have gone before me, the literary mentors, or the Bonhoeffers, the Julian of Norwich, John of the Cross, Dawson Trotman, all of the different ones. Their stories show us what God is like. One of the common stories is life in the Spirit is never ending. There's always more. If we pay attention to those who have gone before us as well as to our own life, we can learn the ways of God. Did you catch that in the Psalm passage, Psalm 103? Moses knew the ways of God. Israel knew the deeds of God. Moses knew the ways that are outlined in the scriptures there, and then Moses knew the ways between he and God. So as you learn the ways of God, you learn who God is. Learning the ways of God leads us to knowing him more deeply. There's much to gain from James here today. But we cannot overemphasize the importance of patience. The activity then of patience is trust. Without trust, we only have passivity. I was talking to a lady yesterday that I was taking to a restaurant. And somehow we got into talking about the characters of the Spirit. I didn't say it that way. I just said, you know, one of the things that seems to be most missing is patience. And she said, boy, is that true. And I said, you know, the interesting thing about patience is that hurry and impatience never makes something take place better. Patience is always required. She said, you are a wise person. I said, oh, not just me. Yeah. So grasp this. In terms of what James is saying, expectation is different than hope. Expectation is usually the fruit of wanting control. We want Jesus to come now. Well, have a good time expecting that. Hope is personal. It's attached to the very character of God. If the second coming had taken place whenever followers of Jesus had wanted it to take place, none of us would have even been born. It's been a desire for centuries. The truth is that the Lord tarries out of love. So what Tim is doing, or what Patty's doing, or any of the people that we know, as well as in our own lives, the Lord tarries out of love. He wants people to come to him. And he knows if they don't come to him, they're lost. So, yeah, I'd like to have the Lord come right now, but that's a very personal convenience, comfort thing. It's not necessarily the will of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for James. We thank you for the servant that he was and is to us. We thank you that he says things very directly. And he understands the circumstance that he lived in, which is this great desire for the coming of the Lord. And we live in the same kind of world within the church. We want to see the Lord come. But we have to be patient. And we have to use our patience fruitfully. And as we wait, it's opportunity. The time is full of opportunity. Lord, teach us to embrace opportunity. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.